Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Mfanelo, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Zama, to you and your listeners.
How are you doing, Pastor, this afternoon?
We're relaxed, we're okay.
Yeah,
this and the other, but how are you doing?
No, we're doing well, Pastor. Great to have you on the show again.
Okay, thank you. Pleasure is mine.
Lovely. Now, we started this series on leadership and governance last week under the Grace Flow series, and we continue with you today. And those who are joining us for the first time, we are speaking to Pastor Mfanelo from Grace Flow, and he is going to be talking to us about leadership and governance. But before we get into today's subject, Mfundis, let's start with a recap of what we covered last week, please.
Yeah, basically, we covered the Grace Flow. What is Grace Flow about? Grace Flow is about God with us with God. So that partnership, that covenant that we have with God has implications. It has tasks. It has mandates. And so leadership is one of them. And so that's where we started off. That's where we kicked off our series last week.
Right. So what is it that we're having today?
So today we're going to perhaps define leadership, get into the nuts and bolts of leadership, the details of it, and look at what the elements of leadership are and see how we can connect them with everything we are trying to do in this series.
Mm-hmm.
So today is about leadership, and I think you wanted us to cover something about mentorship and discipleship, but we'll probably spend more time on leadership.
Okay, all right. Yeah, no, that's fine, Funis. We can go ahead with what you prepared for today's lesson.
All right. So there are many people who are always asking, "What is leadership?" Because I mean, when you there's something that is interesting that I've found interesting lately.
Mm-hmm.
People, when they talk to you, they say, "Thank you, leadership." What do they mean? What do they want? What are they talking about? Oftentimes, when we talk about leadership, we think in terms of positions. But leadership is beyond that.
Yeah.
Leadership is more than positions. It's more than titles. In fact, you can do leadership without titles, without positions.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you can't find leadership in everyone who occupies a position, because it's not always there.
Yeah.
So what is leadership then? Leadership is, in 2009, I wrote a book called, the book's title is Called to Lead. So there I came with a definition that I've not been able to, I've not found a reason to refresh or replace as yet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you go to the internet and Google leadership, you'll get thousands and definitions from every perspective.
Mm.
But this one I have used over the years and in my training and everywhere I go. So I say leadership is the vocational, and I'll explain each word later,
okay,
visionary and relational ability to influence, direct and inspire people towards God's agenda for their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say vocational, you are talking about the sense of calling. So it's a calling, it's a vocation, and it does not necessarily, it's a calling that you are in for a long life, for a long while. Moses has a calling to liberate Israel. And somebody has a calling to lead a family, like Abraham leading a family out of, a messianic family from generation to generation, influencing Jacob was his grandson, Isaac, influencing Isaac to become a leader for the family. for the Messianic community. So it's a sense of that calling. So if we came to you, Zama, today, and we said, Zama, be our president, if it is not in line with your vocation, your sense of your calling, you would probably say no if we asked you to be the president of the country or president of some organization. If it is not, if you don't sense it to be within your scope, you've got an opportunity to decide to accept it or not. You know, sometimes in church or in organization, people come and approach you and they say, please be our leader. We want you to be our leader. We've nominated you to be our leader. People feel obligated. But if it is not in line with your vocation, your sense of calling, then you can turn it down and say, no, I'm not able to take this. Because the next thing you are going to have to provide is the visionary aspect of that. Because if you have no sense of calling for this, you have no sense of this is my mission, this is my purpose, you will not have any vision or visions for it. But if it is within your vocation, if it is within your calling, then you are able to find vision easily, because it's something you think about, it's something you spend time on, it's something that burdens you, it's something that's in your heart. So it's important that you get your calling right before you get your vision.
Yeah.
Is it something I feel called about? I mean, for? Do I have the vision then for it? Because we are going to expect you to give us a grand vision, an aspirational vision, an aspirational direction that you will be pursuing in your leadership. And then the third one is the relational. You've got to be able to relate to the people. So once you talk relational, you've got to be able to relate to the people that you'll be dealing with. So if you are not able to deal with people, people skills, as it were, one of the things we are going to talk about is emotional intelligence. But that's not what we are talking about now. We are talking about your people skills, your ability to deal with the people you have chosen. One of the things I usually do in our presentations, I say, what is your map? What's your mission and purpose? And what are your people? What kind of people do you like to work with? So somebody may like to work with children. Somebody may work like with working with supervisors and other managers. And somebody else may work with technicians. So that's the thing we are talking about, your ability to relate to these people and to influence them. And that, I think, is easy. Influence them, direct them, and inspire them towards God's agenda for their lives. The reason I always say God's agenda, first of all, leadership is from God.
Right.
It is God who came with leadership from creation right up to the end. God saw it fit that there should be human leadership. There is leadership and leadership structure in heaven, and there's leadership structure in the human realm. The Bible talks about having dominion or subduing oneself and subduing others. That kind of concept is from God originally. So that's what leadership, in short, Zama, if I may say, is about. It is that vocational, visionary, and relational ability to influence, direct, and inspire people towards God's agenda for their lives.
Right. And then because you're saying that it includes God's agenda for their lives, is there a way one can do that in a work situation, for instance?
There what? Sorry, again, say it again, please.
Is there a practical way that one can actually, you know, activate that in a work environment?
Yes. Remember, it's him who gave you the mandate to lead. It's him who gave humanity the mandate. So what you want, what one does, whether aware or not, they are pursuing what God has mandated.
Right.
And they're pursuing God's agenda. And sometimes they don't know. You have many instances in scripture where somebody did something and they didn't realize it was from God.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't realize it was inspired by God. It was instigated by God.
Mm-hmm.
It was moved by God. So you are a leader of Israel. You are not you're thinking yourself as King David or King Uzziah, as I shared with Grace Flowers yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You are just doing what you think is normal or regular. But you are actually fulfilling God's agenda, God's will, God's purpose for the people.
I see.
The context of the workplace, even, by the way, leadership cuts across.
Yeah,
it has no sphere where you are not leading.
Leading, yeah.
You are leading in the family, you are leading in the community, you are leading in the organizations, you are leading in the business space, and you are leading in the national space or between, in countries. So it cuts across.
Mm.
It doesn't have a place where it does not feature.
Mm-hmm.
Leadership is everywhere.
Mm.
So you are doing what you are doing and you are thinking, you are not realizing you are fulfilling what God has mandated humanity to do. Because it is God who said, humanity must lead.
Yeah.
Whether they are secular, whether they are Christian, whether they are unaffiliated or anything, they are fulfilling that which God originally intended for humanity. And so when you do it, whatever you do, whether you lead in a radio station, whether you lead in a business, whether you lead in a country, you are activating that agenda.
Right. So it is therefore correct if I would say leadership is therefore a lifestyle. It's not what you generally say, more than what it is actually what you do and what you live. Correct?
Yeah, actually, there are times where we say leadership is being. It is you.
Mm.
It is. But on the other hand, we are quick to say, don't take leadership personally.
Okay.
Because we don't want you to be hurt in the process.
Mm.
But leadership is really you. When we are asking Zama to lead us as an elder or as a station manager or as a program leader, we are asking him to give us himself.
Right.
And that's the total being of Zama, the total experience of Zama. We've looked at the package he's offering. We've looked at what we've seen, both the potential and the portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
And we are wanting this Zama to lead us in a particular way. We believe at this time we are needing you to lead us in this particular way. So it is totally you. It is your life. It is your lifestyle, as you say. It is everything about you. We are not asking you to be not yourself, but we are asking you to lead from your perspective,
mm-hmm.
from your being, from your personal experience, your personal journey, your personal skill set, and all of that.
Is one's leadership, as we draw to a close of our discussion, is one's leadership dependent on those whom he leads, or irrespective of support or followership from those the people that he leads, leadership will still stand regardless? Is that the case?
It's got to stand on both. It's got to stand on one, your ability to build those relationships.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you've got to be able to say to yourself, I am in this with a team. I'm in this with a group of people, either with children or adults or managers or other leaders in the political sphere.
Mm.
So you've got to find a way of making it work relationally.
Mm-hmm.
But also, they, if they're unhappy with you, can be your cause of your downfall. They can sabotage your leadership.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to find, and when we talk about political intelligence
mm-hmm.
In other training, because when you talk about political intelligence, you're talking about your ability to manage difficult relationships. There are difficult relationships in leadership
mm-hmm.
that can undermine and sabotage your leadership and make it an aborted mission.
Mm-hmm.
So one has to find ways of navigating those, walking on those eggshells without breaking them, walking on those eggs without letting them break, because it's about relationships. There's nothing else in leadership that makes or breaks a leader than the relationships.
I want to zoom into this relationships issue, and I want to really take a page in the either sporting or political space. Recently in South Africa, those who are not in South Africa, we've got some politics happening, and we saw one of the prominent leaders moving from one party to the other party, newly formed party. And, those relationships, people that he was leaving in the old party to the new party felt betrayed, felt that it should not have been done, felt heartbroken, and they started all sorts of attacks against this person. We also see this in sports, where one player goes and plays for a rival team, and, followers, fans, would then feel betrayed because this person, we've been with him, we've been working with him, etc. So in those fears, we've seen that when a person changes from one platform of leadership to another, those relationships that you say they must walk on eggshells on, then they become indeed broken. Is it an advisable issue?
Well, there are some of the difficult times one has to cross the floor or make some of the critical decisions, such as crossing the floor, leaving a particular space, leadership space that he or she was operating in. Unfortunately, those are the casualties of leadership.
Right.
They are affected by some of the decisions that certain people make, but it's part of the journey to make certain decisions in the interest of the direction or the agenda the person is taking. You may walk away from leading one department to going to lead another. You may at some stage either resign or come to an end of a term. That's life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not abnormal for the leader to leave some of the relationships that he had built and go and start new ones elsewhere, so that he or she can build a new team, a new group, a new followership, as it were, to make sure that the journey continues. Mm. It's not the end when a leader jumps ship. Life continues.
Yeah. Well, Mfundisi, thank you. I normally see this a very seamless transition in corporate spaces, where one would leave, for instance, a banking institution, and they're going into an insurance institution, for instance, becoming a CEO there, and left having been a CFO in another space. And these seem to be seamless. But of course, at the top level, you always have these grudges and unhappiness. And it does seem that in the leadership space, all of us, whether we're being led or we are leaders, have got to understand human movement, as it were. What's your view on that as we close?
Yeah, I'm going to use my personal journey, my experience, my leadership space, pastoral leadership.
Mm-hmm.
You have a pastoral leader that is placed in a particular area for a time.
Mm-hmm.
After a while, that pastoral leader has to move, whether that's in a department or an organization.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, even in those spaces, there are people who are left unhappy with either the leader's intentional move or the organization's decision to move the person.
Mm.
So it's not uncommon, Zama, to have those kind of pains and we need to manage, really find ways of managing those transitions.
Yeah.
Sometimes you make sure that you talk to the people through this process.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you are going to leave your children, when you are going to go to town, or when you are going to go away out of town for a while,
mm-hmm.
you talk through this process. I'm going to be away. I'm going to leave. There's someone else who's coming behind me. Or there's someone else who's going to lead you. I'm transitioning out of this to get to another level, and so on and so forth. So those are ways you could manage the transitions between incoming and outgoing, and to save the relational difficulties, so that people are not left. People are interesting. They follow you, and or they follow your career, and they think, but we still wanted him here. We still wanted him to be with us.
Mm-hmm.
But why is he leaving? Oh, their politics. They are always suspicious of the politics from the higher hand, the organizational leaders. So you've got to manage those transitions in a way that that is going to make it smooth and pleasant. Of course, it's not going to be entirely pleasant
mm-hmm.
for the relationships that you build. But unfortunately, you can't do otherwise in leadership. You can't have a situation you say, because I'm going to leave, I'm going to one day leave, I want to make sure I don't have anyone who's attached to me or attached to my vision or attached to my way of doing things. You can't do that, but you've got to say, in the light of the fact that people are ahead sometimes by the movements of the leaders, find a way to transition them emotionally out of the head.
Beautiful. Well, Mfundisi, we have completely run out of our time, but I want to thank you so much once again for joining us this afternoon. We're going to be connecting with you once again next week, same time and same place.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. Blessings to your listeners, and look forward to the next series next week.
Lovely. Thank you, Pastor.
Bye. Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.